What was the proposition that you talked to John about, my idea of showing this to 10 potential contributors and let them put up 100 G's each in the budget?
No, I didn't go up to the park and start.
That's always a tremendous scheme, you know, from campaigns, big contributors like, rather than just giving it to the general fund, like to.
Do something specific.
Exactly.
This is that program, if you got your top 10 money guys, your Democrat money guys.
Do they have that Democrats?
No.
Well, I'm.
Okay.
He'll put up half.
Have them sit there, but as you say, gentlemen, if we're gonna get this program across, it's gotta go, we need $1 million, we need it Saturday. There's 10 of you here, you each gotta give us $100,000 yourself.
Or
get us $100,000 immediately.
I'll.
I guarantee you, all 10 of them would pledge $100,000. And then you do the same thing in Chicago, it's $1 million, it's got your $2 million.
Let's pick your name, you can get in, like you get in both candidates. Just a few of your people, maybe one Texas, one of your people there. But I get Mulcahy, I get him, and I don't think bother with him.
Is he on stern, I'm gonna rewrite.
Yeah, but Mulcahy will come down this year, I'll tell you what.
Mulcahy will give you $1 million, the problem with him is he goes.
Yeah, he wanna give it all. And, but nevertheless, that's okay, get him in. Another one is,
It's the way to solve this whole problem of Democrats and extra funding. And get over all of it in one jump, then forget about it, Rick, even you said, you're gonna try and raise some money.
Well, probably I'll get Frank for some, and we'll get some of his money.
There, that's right, it's about $200, about the milk money, we take that.
Yes, we take a hell of a lot of milk money, well, I get the truckers, they're trying to get together $500,000.
Now we're talking, what about that?
Gotta get them separately from these other.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell them that.
It'd be great though to have, well, but to have Ben Simmons sit in on them like, with these guys, and agree with us.
Dwayne is now, Rickus has already sent in his $50,000, no, he hadn't even.
This is the way to get another $50,000.
All right, get Rickus down here. And Arthur Cohen, Arthur George sent in his $50,000.
Who's interested?
I just had Ludwig in defense, Paul, I was getting Ludwig Benz here.
Ludwig, has he ever contributed?
No, but this might.
He's never contributed anything to my memory.
No,
he did exactly this, I remember in '68, we took him into the studio, ran a special showing of the film and everything, he didn't do it then.
Well, I don't rest away.
No, I think with this he might.
No, he's not, no, because he is a strange fellow. He ought to have gotten by himself a whole campaign.
Had done a damn thing.
He might have gone through all sorts of things, well, anyway.
We were having just thought, I
don't know what to do. Ask Tom Bond for investment names, he knows the guys that at this point that he's talked to over these months that were open on it.
See, I don't know who's contributed, and I don't keep up with it, that's the other.
So who's got it in?
We gotta get my aura, you know. Because, see, I hit some of these people, and I don't know who's given them, Leon Hess, I understand, after our dinner in New York, contributed another $100,000, which makes him $250,000. I don't know if this is right or not. John Loeb sent in 15, I understand after the dinner up there, he sent in another 50.
Loeb would like this.
He's asked for it. Brockman, his son-in-law, sent in 50, but he sent it through the committee. That's fine.
Your Jewish contributors would be big on this.
Oh, we have to mention this.
Well, it is fine, Billy, because we're much better off, we can get the money into the Democrats for next year.
See?
As to give, so that it can then be spent under the name of Democrats for next year. Get to the same, we were talking about last week.
Because we ought to go right now, because we're well over $2 million now we spent.
Really?
Yeah, exactly, we need to have $2 million more.
Right.
Including this thing?
Yeah.
Switching. He cannot listen to that without switching. I mean, I'd be a Democrat. This is a Democrat. sale. And that's where you have to, that's where the votes are.
Yeah, it is, and you gotta, on top of that, it's a sure solidifier for any guy that's sort of with us, but I'm a little worried about how to explain it to people.
Yeah, right, it's part of that. It's part of all of your thing.
Rackingham, Roosevelt, Truman, Kennedy, Johnson.
Stevenson.
Yes, and Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Nothing happens, but it's all over.
The other thing was, I would have told Congress to do that, asking that Grant was such a complimentary picture of the government.
That's my government picture compared to all the rest of it.
The others were all those great portraits and all that.
How about, they turned out Bill did a hell of a job.
Well, he did, the way the film works in with the narration, like the Joe and Eli handshake of the president negotiating table.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Brilliant.
And that congressional record thing just came out sensational.
Right, right.
The way it leads to the young picture of the guy, then back to the record, then back to the young picture, and then your voiceover. And then you return to his letter, and then you say, and his views haven't changed. Which is quite unusual.
Not consistent.
I mean, it is the classic in an old performance, the dramatic classic of the entire film, is when you read the rightly quote from Fortune
twice.
Then you stop and say, let me read that again.
Oh, my. Killer.
Good.
It's an utter killer.
You
information that they stole, and they praised Jack Anderson and
he did nothing. He went out and tried to recruit a bunch of fellows, and all
right. And yes, he failed.
Then recruit the workers.
Picked up the line, and we hired 50 people to do this. I don't know where the hell he's gotten that, or you know, what we do with that.
Well, of course,
he's playing the big line.
You know, have to admit that. We're not handling it well.
That's right. But how do you handle it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the facts are. So I don't know. My judgment's so damn good. My judgment's so good, and nobody else's is, unless you know what the other facts are. I don't know what they are. Don't want them. But it's not good for McGregor to go out and hand out a handout, three-page handout, read a statement, and turn around and run, and refuse to answer any questions. Now, this just looks guilty as hell. Rather not hand out the press release.
Well, that's what he felt, too. But he did it under instructions, on the basis that if he starts into the questions, then he's got to get into all the... He's escalating all the charges stuff.
Yeah, but he probably shouldn't have done it in Bach.
You know, I mean, you got to make your mind. You can't go out and try to answer something and then not answer it. You can't just give a damn handout and then turn around and refuse to answer questions.
To go out and give it out. Well, Ziegler doesn't worry. He's trying to keep it out of here, but he doesn't dodge anything.
Now, I don't know whether Maury's mixed up in it or what he is.
Or
how deep he is. Or, you know, they tie all this in together. Well, I don't know what it's tied in together. They asked me about the $700,000. Said, doesn't that make you mad? It's money out of Texas. I said, no, don't make me mad. I probably would have gotten it anyway.
What the hell did that first question cost you at your press conference?
You know,
that was the most shameful setup.
I never heard of
question I've ever heard.
Yes, that was a plan I'm totally unaware of.
His first question starts in, and the first question the guy gets up and says, well, you know, Governor, we have this situation here where the government is attacking the president on AT&T and all this stuff, and yet a top AT&T official in Columbus, Ohio, has reported that he's given over $100,000 to the government campaign. Now, isn't that a double standard that should be soundly condemned? And John says, would you please give your name in the paper? He couldn't believe he was a real reporter. It was George Emery.
Was that who it was?
Yeah, I was in Columbus paper.
Yeah,
he probably got one on our side.
He sure did. He stepped in. He repeated the whole thing.
And he repeated the whole question.
Great. But I didn't know him. If it was planned, I'm totally unaware of it. I guess somebody planned it.
No, I think Henry did it all the time.
And a big Democrat contributed.
I'm sure,
but they never contributed to the Republicans. They played both, but they're more on the other side than our side.
That's right.
Up until this year, they were all senators.
I'm sure that's right.
Well, they play whoever wins.
They gave us a little bit, the big money all the
time. Well, that gave me a chance to talk about these two young fellows that put up $500,000 from the government last week in Mott and all the rest of these rich people. To them, and I give my old, it's a pat phrase, I said, when these rich people give to the Democrats, give to your side, they're always noble, concerned citizens. And I said, when they give to the opposition, well, they suddenly become fat kids.
I'm trying to buy something.
Yeah.
Who is the man, may I ask, that was the Humphrey contributor, who's contributed to us, that's over 350,000 Texas, was he at your intervention?
No.
Who is that?
I don't know that man, and I knew there's something phony about that deal. I just smelled it.
Well, did he disappear?
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently he did.
Apparently he did. I got him ducking.
Nuts.
I got him ducking from Bryan, Texas. He now lives in San Antonio, apparently.
You don't know him?
No, I don't know him. And when I heard about this guy giving this kind of money, I said, there's something fishy.
Well, he's bankrupt.
Oh, yeah, now he's bankrupt.
Oh, man.
Well, he's probably crazy.
And then Gino wanted to go down and see him. What about this guy? I said, now Gino, leave him alone. I said, I don't know him. I don't know anything about it, but there's something wrong with this deal. I said, a guy like that couldn't operate around here without me knowing about it.
Oh, sure.
It's right. 25 years.
And he contributed to Humphrey and contributed to us.
He contributed to the committee.
He was the biggest contributor.
$350,000.
shocked when I heard about it in Florida, because it was so damn stupid. I mean, you're going to bug anybody, bug the headquarters of somebody, but you're going to bug the national committee. The second point, but beyond that, to have that heavy-handed kind of activity, of course, is absolutely unbelievable. The Watergate thing was connected, as was indicated, by lower echelon people who were in the business. I think they were, their responsibility was to get information with regard to, interesting enough, ironically, the charges that they were going to screw up our convention. That was the time, you recall, when everybody was figuring the old convention was going to have a lot of mass demonstrations, rioting, and so forth and so on. So they set this up to work on that, apparently, and that's what happened. The Segretti thing, had no connection whatever with Watergate. None, whatever. That's the point that's so dishonest about the whole thing. Segretti thing had to do only with rallies, meetings, etc. And was, in my view, a half-assed operation. But again, there was absolutely no connection. They got Chapin in it. But the only problem they got Chapin in is that he went to school with this fellow. And I don't know. Segretti to me seems like a very pleasant fellow or a man, but it's a little bit on the stupid side. Now, what, do you know any more about it? So that you're not in Baxter anymore? Other than I would study, I would say there's a great thing. If you move the Watergate stuff out, suppose all the Segretti charges are true. What in the hell is that? When Wilkie printed tickets to pack the galleries and win the nomination, he was praised by all the Eastern establishment. Mike Coles and those young bucks that did that. The printing of tickets.
Such a clever thing.
Yeah, I know. That, I mean, you know what I mean? Tickets, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the other side of this coin, of course, is that out of the government headquarters, if you want to look at it in terms of campaigns are not particularly, a lot of games are played. But the flyers that resulted in a violent demonstration when I was in San Francisco were distributed from the Berkeley headquarters of the McGovern. McGovern never did it. The telephone calls for a violent demonstration, not as violent, but at least noisy and potentially violent in California, were made from the McGovern headquarters in Los Angeles. The Phoenix headquarters is burned down. They've had fire bombings in five others, and the McGovern people never repudiated it.
Well, you never know what that word. And the press doesn't even, they won't even care to pick it up.
Now, but point out, I think we jumped into the fact, what are the facts on this? Because the main thing we've got to be concerned with, it cannot touch the president. I said that I didn't know about that, and that nobody in the White House staff was involved in the Watergate. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Nobody knew. Right. Now, Segretti, I must say, that is totally news to me. And that
not espionage in any sense at all, because he wasn't in on any, he wasn't.
Absolutely nothing about Watergate had nothing whatever to do with it. It was financed right out of the committee order.
It was financed. It was financed out of a cash, you know, box that they had.
Long before the reporting.
That's right. And that's where it all was. Now, the problem that it would have never been caught, except for the insistence of keeping it away from here or from anybody involved, so they put it under this guy Liddy. Over at the committee, who they had doing all this kind of stuff.
In charge of security for the committee.
Right, and all the external activity type
and
stuff.
Sweeping things.
So when they started checking phone logs in the Watergate case, they found Segretti's phone number. They tracked that down, because there have been quite a few phone calls back and forth with this guy Segretti. So they tracked that down, that's how they got the name. Then that led to taking FBI statements from him, and he appeared before the grand jury. All that, well, we've got a leak in the FBI.
Sure they all have.
And the leak in the FBI is providing information from these sworn statements. They all, as a result of Segretti, they all Chapin and took a sworn statement from him, which I'd be happy to publish on the front page of the Washington Post, because it makes the whole thing absolutely clear that Chapin just exactly
what his words said.
It's Segretti's sworn statement.
I've never met any of these people, so.
I've never met Segretti. I wouldn't know him from that. Yeah. Never talked to him. He's never had anything to do with anybody here, except Chapin, who's his little buddy, and Gordon Strachan, who was also, he was a fraternity brother of his. It's cool. Chapin said to Gordon, wouldn't Segretti be a good guy to get in this kind of stuff? Gordon said, yeah, he'd love it. So that's how they get tied. They're lying, is that they didn't hire him, they recommended him. They said, here's a guy to do this stuff. And then Segretti...
But our people see, Chapin is in charge of our scheduling. That's basically how
he pays on and all that. I have our people, that's how... See, we also, and I think that's
probably
what
they're
sharing. We
maybe they're not going to have 50 advancement.
We have 50 advancement. And we
recruited
advancement. But Segretti had nothing to do with that. He wasn't an advancement. He's never been near a brother.
They're not good at advancement.
And that may be where he's getting this. We recruited 50 operators to do this stuff. But we purposely never let our advancement get across the line and do any of this contact with the enemy type
right.
stuff. So that's really where the whole damn thing is. And it's a shame because there's cross lines in all of this stuff. This Howard Hunt that was in the Watergate thing, clearly was, I guess, was before that at the White House working on Pentagon Papers stuff.
And drugs.
And involving some damn sensitive stuff.
Very good.
Very damn sensitive stuff. And the guy and he was using these Cubans, I think.
Sure.
For bugging and
trying to find out. He was working on the Pentagon Papers.
Trying to
get someone else to found out about his girlfriend. He was the guy that got that.
So
incidentally speaking, I'm bucking his person.
It's a tragedy. What's happened is by trying to do it all right, we've succeeded in totally fucking it up.
The main point is it's 3 weeks before the election. The next point is that in terms of this, you've got to I don't like to see us be having to talk about it and so forth. There will be other things to talk about. But you've got to keep it away from this office. That first is absolutely true, and second, we have to condemn it. Now, as a matter of fact, when you condemn it, you've got to be dead sure that you know what you're condemning.
Right.
And you can't. Now, I don't think you can condemn the legitimate activities of following the other people.
No, you can, all you can condemn is illegal electronic surveillance. That's right, and that's against the law.
So that's what we're talking about.
Like,
the other thing, but I'm planning people under other campaigns.
Know
the situation with regard. He ordered Republican personnel.
And so was Humphreys, I think. I'm not sure about Humphreys. I know about Humphreys. But the reason he says he had a bug was because he was talking about he had his Vietnam plans in there, and he had to have information as to what we were going to say about Vietnam. But the plane was bugged John in that whole 2 weeks period by J. Edgar Hoover, and Johnson knew every conversation that took it. And in order, it was bugged in my compartment. So every conversation I had for 2 weeks, Johnson had. Now, we're not going to say anything, you know, because it looked like hell. I don't want the pressure that everybody said.
They asked me at the press conference this morning if this went on during the Johnson administration. I said, I don't know. I wasn't part of the Johnson administration. I was governor of Texas. But I said, I would not want to give that or any other administration in my lifetime any seal of purity. And everybody goes,
they all laughed.
I don't know the other way to do it, except on the Segretti thing. And I'm not sure y'all have bobbed over. If you can ever divorce Segretti from the rest of the Hunts and the ladies and the rest, if you don't get in trouble for handling a lot of cash and so forth, which I'm afraid that's where you get in the bind.
Nothing wrong with the cash.
No,
the cash was before the reporting period.
We're already in the bind on the cash. They already say we have a $350,000 cash.
Go ahead. Well, I just think it might be a some thought to just have Bob Dole just say, yeah, sure we are. And what do they got?
Well, McGregor.
What do you do?
Or McGregor. Okay.
And say, what
do you know, what do?
What do you do? What's wrong
with you? How's that with Glenn Gordon? Let me say, sure we are.
Sorry.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. That puts it right down.
Puts it in the
water. That puts it in the water game. Get them out of the water game. So Grady was hurt. But the next top thing, you don't think you can get that out?
It is out, and the press has it. And that's
let's wait.
They ruin it. Yeah, they're trying to develop that thing here.
Let's wait and get that.
It sounds like a tic-tac operation. Yeah, that's what Segretti was doing.
Yeah.
The same. But on all the people I said on that was that I thought it was too clever for us to have done it.
That's right.
It's too smart. I figured it had to be.
But it's just, it's the way we talked to stock operate. We used to send out big press releases, you know, off of the plane. And also, Goldwater, in the last scam was pointing out that Goldwater, last month of the campaign, that every one of Goldwater's speeches was in Johnson and the Johnson committee's hands before the poor son of a bitch put it out himself. They had a secretary, see.
Well, so
you do it yourself.
We all know everybody does.
That's right.
Everybody does.
And that's perfectly legitimate. Perfectly legitimate. If you got a secretary that's going to rap, you're going to get him.
Instead of one far, I had lunch with Dale Webb and his Ludwig today at lunch.
And Ludwig's there too.
He's an old tough bastard.
He's a cheery little
old man in the world.
Man, he's always whining. Yeah. He's only got $2 billion.
He was about three. Yeah, he was whining some. And I said, what the hell have they done to you? He was whining, you know, oh God, about the administration.
Herb Reynolds' lawyer.
Yeah, Herb Reynolds' lawyer. He said, Herb, don't get along with that bunch of bastards very well, you know. And I said, oh, I didn't know.
Done things for her.
I said, no, I didn't know that. Well, anyway, he's fine. He just an old crusty fellow. And I said, well, Mr. Ludwig, he said, well, I thought y'all were rolling money. And I said, no, we don't have any money. And I said,
I had him there not heavy with his joy.
We left $1.5 million short. And I said, the committee's in bad shape now because just fellows like you that think everybody is loaded. We're not loaded. But I said, I'm not going to ask the general who made me contribute. I said, I don't want you to do something you don't want to do. I said, you'd be unhappy about it if you do it. If you can't do it, in good grace, if you can't do it enthusiastically, it's a mistake for you to do it.
What I would have, I'd have 10 people, each of whom would not be embarrassed if somebody got up and said, I'm going to put up 100. Now, I know Mulcahy will start. Of course, he will start too high, and that'll embarrass the others. But I'd have Mulcahy there and tell him, and have him. Okay, actually, we put up a, and it's like he's not rich compared to Ludwig. He's only, okay, he's only worth 75 or 80 million. But he's willing to give 10. It's amazing guys, you know, anyway.
No.
The most amazing, lovable Irish here. So.
Well, the point that they made the other day was that, and I think it's a good point that you all might think about, that at some point, in some of your speeches, or in one speech between now and election, that not just talk about what you've done, but the church, that you express a dissatisfaction that you haven't done more. And in spite of all you've done, more needs to be done. More needs to be done on this, on this, on this. On the theory, and this is my theory, not theirs, on the theory that people are never satisfied with what they had.
No.
And no matter what you do, they want you to do more. So we don't want to put you in the posture
of being
in the status quo.
Right.
In other words, say, in effect, I've done
it all. I've been in New York.
Yeah. Not done, just don't say I've done it all, but just say, here's what we've done. But there's still great challenges. There's still great problems. There's still great opportunities. And you know, and whatever field you want to dwell on. But just hold out some hope for it.
Sure.
Greater advance.
Yeah, greater advance. Peace, greater advance. Right. In cutting inflation, greater advance in economic growth, greater advance in reform, and that's it.
That's right. And I think it's a good thought that you give people something to look forward to. Otherwise, I think the campaign's in excellent shape. I don't want anything else that can or should be done.
Of course, we don't. We mustn't overkill. That's the other thing.
No, we can't overkill.
You can't.
No.
I think you can go out and say some things. I think in my own activities are quite extensive now in these next 2 weeks, actually. I've got two radio speeches a week, and they're highly substantive.
They make this point, though.
They laid out a crime program, and I laid out a no new taxes program, and cutting government expenditures, and we're going to have one on foreign policy toward the end, and one just vision of America for the future, and so forth. But the but when you really come down to it, what is really involved here, John? Quite candidly, at this point, you know and I know that unless somebody gets killed, that we're going to win the election.
Right.
And we win it pretty well. The question is how much. The second point is what is involved is the future of the political system in the United States. My reason for wanting to win very substantially is not always crap about a mandate. You went by one vote when you were president, and then you work on it. And people forget very quickly how much you won by, you know, even with Johnson for a year, and had a lot, and he was down to 40% of the polls in 2 years.
That's right.
That was me. On the other hand, what is really involved, and quite like him, I think it is what the government stands for, the Eastern liberal media stands for, the Eastern intellectuals stand for. That must be crushed. It must be crushed and given a defeat so that it cannot come back and have an opportunity to have much influence in American life for a while, and certainly with the Democratic Party. Now, the real fight here, in my view, is what the hell happens to this system. So what I think is that we don't know. We can't, nobody can project what's going to happen to the Democratic Party. To the Republican Party and the independent flux and the rest, but if McGovern is defeated by enough, you realize that those that have been for the way out lifestyle, those that have been for a bug out in Vietnam, for American new isolationism, for everything that is right and wrong in this country, are going to be thoroughly discredited. It's going to be a terrible blow to the New York Times, to the Washington Post, to Newsweek, to Time, and the leaders of the free networks. It's going to be a terrible blow to them. It's going to be a terrible blow to the Eastern establishment university types, all of whom are that kind, weak in their spines. And it will be a great encouragement to the decent people in this country. And they're most of them, they're decent people in every state. But when you speak regionally, they're in the South, they're out through that Midwest, you saw a lot of them in California, a lot of strong people out there, a lot of strong people. And those people, what we've got to do after this election, is what I feel, is to build a new establishment. I've told Bob, I'm not going to load this administration on our Jews. We have our share. They're very good. That's it. But there are too many Jews in government, not because Jews have it, but basically their loyalties are not deep enough to what we believe in. The other thing is,
that we have too many people in government, we automatically have a trigger reaction, knee-jerk reaction when we have a government. You go to Harvard or Yale or Columbia, right? The hell with that. We've got to go out in the heartland and bring people in. If you go east, go to Florida, not to Harvard.
Right.
Now that's what we've got to do. Let me tell you something, another reason I feel is you take the FBI. Everybody says, oh, Hoover, you know, he brought squares and made them cut their hair and all the rest and so forth. But it was an organization of enormous loyalty, of great integrity and great ability. He never took any lawyers from Harvard. Most of them didn't want to go, but he got it from Georgetown. He got it from the Midwest. He got it from the Southern schools, and they are the best you ever saw. Now that's the thing we're going to do. We've got to build those towns with the press. This sign around the New York Times and the Post is going to stop. This crying, simmering around the Hume Society, those people, it's going to stop. You've got to support the Embrys. Now, Embry is the brightest guy in the world, but he's on our side.
Sure, you agree?
Well, absolutely. We've got to build up our people, John.
Well, I'll tell you this, a lot of these sacred idiots on this that you're talking about, they're not the brightest guys in the world either.
Yeah, you think Saudi. Saudi is not very bright.
That's right.
He's not very bright.
Sure, sure.
And he's always built up. I mean, and I think that what we, I think we have the idea, we discount, we frankly, not discount, we underestimate the ability of the good people in this country. We think that when a person is not in the set, that he isn't very smart. Well, that is not true. If that were true, you wouldn't have had any success in politics, and I would have had none. Hell, I'd still be a Whittier.
No.
That's the truth. Because I've never been one of these bucks, and I'm never going to be. And what we've got to do in this thing, now the McGovern thing, it's interesting here, this fellow from this little old state of South Dakota, preacher son of Christ, but he came to Washington. And he became part of John. That whole Georgetown liberal set and so forth and so on, simpering and sucking around and so forth, and therefore represents that point of view. In other words, McGovern didn't keep his Midwestern foreheads. He got away from it. He's going to lose South Dakota. He's going to lose it 2-1, I predict. 2-1,
I hope.
2-1. Now my point is, as I look at the new administration, and this cuts across the board, it means that's what the State Department directs. Some defense. CIA. And right down through the other agencies, HUD, HEW, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way I feel about it. Now, I come back to my point. A crushing defeat for McGovern would be a repudiation of what I think is wrong with this country, or what has been wrong in the late 60s, in the early 60s. In other words, it's an attitude of permissiveness, it's an attitude of sort of being ashamed of the country, it's an attitude of not being patriotic, really in a sense, not disloyal in the communist sense, but just disloyal to certain things. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
that
damn right makes sense.
That's what I think the campaign's about. I really think it's about. You know, we've fought, look, John, you know the tough decisions. Made November 3rd. Laos made. Where were these people? Where were they? They weren't with us. We have a few. We've got a few on our side. But the point is, we got to build more. But we got to reward them.
Well, you know what?
The kids. They talk about the kids. The kids and the young people are coming here. We're getting not half of the college kids, but maybe a half or slightly better of all under 30. The kids always talk about what they call their peer group in psychology. And it just isn't, and it wasn't fashionable until after that convention, but I've heard it be this way. We got to make it fashionable to be for the right things together. I'll let you know. See, it's got to be fashionable. Now, it is fashionable to be decent in the Midwest and other places, you know, something, but
we're shifting overall, too. It's becoming fashionable again. No question. Believe in the country a little bit.
It is.
And if it gets tied into re-election, it'll make a hell of a difference.
So do I.
Well, it'll change people's approach to values.
Well, that's why it's important that you have as big victory as you can get.
Victory is the more difference in the making.
Right.
And the more of discredit a government. And most important, what he stands for, you know, for not what the media now are trying to do. Desperately. They're desperately trying to find a scapegoat. And they cannot bear to think that their ideas are the issue. Because their ideas are the same as McGovern's. So they're trying to say he screwed it up. If he had the Eagle affair, he might have won. Or if he had a better campaign, he might have won. He was never going to have that job. No. He was never there.
But you agree to know what?
I agree.
Because his ideas are the point.
That's right. And his ideas are the issue.
He's out
of the
no
it's
question.
It's hot.
No question.
It's this screwball.
It's a
basic color of the mess.
True.
It's frankly his lifestyle. And it goes around him.
No, he's on a losing horse. But you're right. They're going to have it ascension in these ranks.
That's right. I think. That's right. Or the dirty campaign. One of the things about that one, though, that makes him fall short is that his campaign, in a personal sense, has been pretty damn rough.
Oh, it's far rougher than anything that is even been uttered by anybody in your campaign.
We haven't said anything about him personally.
I know you got two of them on the West Coast that talk about it being a mean campaign. I said, yeah, I sure agree. I think it is a mean campaign. And I said, it's a one-sided mean campaign. I said, y'all can't have it both ways. I said, you denounced the president because he won't get out of campaign. Now you can't say he's out of campaign in a mean, low-life fashion. I said, it's mean, all right, but it's all mean.
But the governor's
bad for it. I said, it's just one-sided.
We've got a chance on that if we want to hit back from here.